All right, well, happy to see you here today. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. We are going to look at the mystery of God's grace, and it'll stay a mystery. We're just going to look at it because it is amazing that He just continues to pour it out. And we need to be grateful for it. My name's Rex August. In case you don't know, I serve as one of the elders here at E-Free, and thankful to be able to do that. So open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the scriptures. Father, we thank You for the holy word of God. We thank You that You've preserved it, Lord. We thank You that it is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank You so much that it will not return void, but it will serve whatever purpose You send it forth to do. We thank You, Father, for Your faithfulness, Your goodness to us, and we're going to thank You for Your grace. It is sufficient. Lord, we love You, and speak to our hearts today through Your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in Matthew chapter 20, we're going to read the first 16 verses and then do a little maneuvering around through the scriptures. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when they had agreed with them, the laborers, for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you.' And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, 'Why stand ye here all day idle?' And they say unto him, 'Because no man has hired us.' He said unto them, 'Go also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right ye shall receive.' So when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to the steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first.' And when they that came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, 'These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine, go thy way, and I will give unto the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, the first shall be last. Many called and few chosen.'" The laws of the kingdom of heaven are passed down and set down to us. They're just set down before us, like with the Sermon on the Mount. The mysteries of the kingdom of God are delivered or conveyed to us through parables. And so we have this mystery of the kingdom of God being handed down to us. And it's a picture of the grace of God. And it's a twofold calling, what I see. One, the master of the vineyard calling to salvation. And Christ does come, and he calls to have us be a part of his kingdom. And I thank God, as you look at this, he called in the morning, and he called several times throughout the day. I think of my own life and how many times God called me. Sitting in church, sitting under the preaching of God's word, conviction came upon my heart. I knew Christ was my only hope, and I still told him no. Because the devil talks to you as well and doesn't want you to give your life to Christ, because he convinces you you're going to give up everything important to follow Jesus. And so I thank God for his continual grace as he continued to call and to call and to call. He'd find me standing idle and he'd keep calling. And I finally yielded myself, repented of my sin, and put my faith in Jesus Christ. And now he's also calling, and he still calls me now to serve in his vineyard. To serve and to serve, and he wants us to serve. It's his vineyard. And so we have to understand, it's his vineyard. I'm his servant. There's work that needs done, and this truly is a mystery to me. He wants us to do it. That's a mystery. When God could do it all himself and a lot better, it would be perfect. Yet he chooses to equip you and I to work in his vineyard. And it serves some purposes as well. One, it's a blessing to us to serve. It is. Self-indulgent people that's all about you serve me, they're never happy. Hollywood's not happy. The sports world's not happy. The music industry's not happy. It's serve me, praise me, applaud me, give me your money. And they're not happy. So being served will not make you happy. And God knows that serving him will bring peace, contentment. It'll bring some joy into our lives. And he wants to keep us from being idle. If we get idle, we know what happens. Our brain wanders. We can think about things we shouldn't be thinking about. We can get involved in things we shouldn't be involved in. And I think about, as a teenager, one teenager usually doesn't get in a whole lot of mischief. You get four or five idle with no time on their, with extra time on their hands and nothing to do. And it's usually a challenge to trouble, a dare to do something. And so when we're idle, we serve self and we fall into sin and can certainly get into sin. I want you to look at Romans chapter 6 with me. We'll just look at verse 19. Turn there. Romans 6. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so yield your members servants unto righteousness unto holiness. And what God is doing is, listen, we're always busy. Understand this. Our body, our soul, we're always being hired out. And there's a battle going on. Adam and Eve were in a perfect location, and here comes Satan along to get them to hire out to him to do his wishes and eat of the fruit of the forbidden tree. So we're always there, and God wants us to be about his service and not standing idle. So we're going to serve something. We either serve self unto sin, or we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ unto righteousness and holiness. And so we need to be serving. He's calling us to serve. By Christ keeping us occupied, he can keep us out of trouble. He can keep our perspective and our relationship with him right, that he's the Lord and we're the servant, and that we are here to serve him as he calls. And so God calls us. Joshua put out a plea to the children of Israel back in Joshua 24. He said, now you can serve the gods in the land of Egypt. And when you think about this, when he's putting out this plea, Jehovah, the God of the Bible, defeated all their gods. He says, you can serve the gods of the Egyptians. You can serve the gods on the other side of the Jordan, the Amorites. You can serve the gods in whose land you dwell, which God has defeated every one of them, or you can serve the Lord. He says, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. And that's a choice we need to make, to serve the Lord God Almighty, to serve our Redeemer, our Creator. As we think about this idea of serving, I also want to convey a message that we got to get the volunteer mentality out of our mind. Webster's Dictionary, 1828. A volunteer is to enter into any service of one's own free will without any solicitation or compulsion. I am not a free will believer. I believe in the free will of man, but I didn't know I needed saved till God compelled me. He came and convicted my heart and says, you're a sinner, you need me to save you. I was like, huh? And I refused him many times. That's why I'm thankful for this, when you see this passage and how he calls and he calls and he calls, because I rejected him and he kept showing me, you need me. I was lost. I didn't, you know, and this was a battle. And I finally yielded and gave myself to Christ. And so I was compelled, I was solicited to come into the kingdom of God. He worked on me. Nobody gets saved unless the Father is drawing them. If the Spirit's not drawing, see, God is compelling. He's soliciting. He's drawing us into his kingdom. So I'm not a volunteer, I'm a servant. And I'm indebted to him because he forgave all my debt. We would feel very loyal to a human being if they bailed us out of financial disaster. We would. Well, I really owe them something. God saves us. Like, well, I ain't going to do anything for him.
Where would we ever get that line of thinking?
Just selfishness of our flesh. And so we're here to serve the Lord. And so this is a free gift of salvation. And these people in Matthew 20 were getting wages. So they weren't volunteers, they're getting paid. And our pay in our service to God, we won't see it a check as you walk out the door today. Here, thank you. It'll be rewarded in God's kingdom. It's going to be rewarded on grace, as we see here in this scripture. The grace and the bounty of God. He's got plenty of it. So we're going to serve him. He's the householder. We're a hired servant. And he is calling us to serve him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to look at two verses there in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Because we are not our own. We are and we do belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 19, he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own?" As a child of Jesus Christ, I am no longer my own boss. Prior to Jesus Christ, I still wasn't my own boss. I was a servant of the devil and didn't know it. We always serve. And the Bible says you can't serve two masters. And we're supposed to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's his. "For we are bought with a price." And I think if we would meditate on the price of our redemption, that the spotless Lamb of God left heaven's glory, put on flesh, humbled himself, became obedient on the death, even the death of the cross, and then rose from the dead and then offers us this gift freely, we'd say, you know what? How can I not serve him? He didn't pay off some earthly debt. He paid off a debt I couldn't pay. He paid off a debt that I owed that wasn't his, and he stepped into my life and he paid it for me and offers it to us. So he says, "You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his." Jesus Christ calls in Matthew chapter 9, he's looking for laborers to go out into his harvest. He sees the multitudes in chapter 9 and he was moved with compassion and say, well, no, be thankful he moved with compassion, because that's a picture of you and me. It's nice to have people have compassion on us. It's nice to see the Messiah have compassion. He says, "I see these people as sheep without a shepherd, going astray." He says, "Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send laborers out into his harvest. Because the harvest truly is plenteous and the laborers are few." So he wants people to go out, and that's him now. One time we were outside the kingdom of God, he was asking people to come serve. And you know what? Somebody was serving God when they preached the gospel to me. Now, I'm preaching the gospel, and you might be here without Jesus Christ, and we're passing that on. We're passing on what we get. Freely we have received, freely give. Give of ourselves back into his kingdom, back into his service. And so God wants to use us. We have been bought with a price, and I am thankful that God is so gracious to us. This call to serve, the ability to serve, and the reward for serving are all principles on the grace of God. They are not based on merit. Not based on merit. When we use merit as a mindset, what I deserve, what I have earned, offenses will take place in your life. You will be offended if merit is the drive behind what you do. Because I deserve this, I deserve that, I've served longer than this person, I think I've worked harder than this person, I feel I'm better than this person. We start getting merit in our thinking and we start getting offended. In Luke, there's the story of the prodigal son. He goes wayward, he squanders all of his inheritance. His life's a wreck. Now you would think, and obviously with the attitude of the older brother, he was not on his knees at home praying, "God, get a hold of his heart." Because when the younger brother came home, the older brother was offended that the father brought him back into the home, restored his fellowship. And nobody was offended. And what he is, he's looking at merit. Wait a minute, he squandered his money. Are you going to share my money with him? Is he going to double dip here and get some of mine? And he's worried about himself. He was offended because he was worried about merit. What's left is mine. That's mine.
I stayed here. I worked. You ran off. This is mine. And all of a sudden, everything changes when we look at merit. The self-righteous Pharisees were offended at Jesus Christ. Imagine being offended at Jesus. They were offended because he reached out to publicans and harlots. The Pharisees looked at it, we're the good guys here. We wear the right clothes. We have the right everything going on. We serve through the temple. We read scriptures. We do stuff. And you go over and you talk to these heathens. How dare you take yourself and go to them rather than just come and serve us? Talk to us. Let's look at one of those examples we have there in Luke chapter 18. Turn with me to Luke 18. We'll see this played out as Jesus talks about it. We'll start Luke 18 and verse 9. That's John. No wonder I couldn't find what was going on there. Well, that don't look right. And it said, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. We'll look at this a little bit as well, that they were righteous and despised others. So he says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And then he points to this guy that he thinks he's better than, even this publican. So this guy, his whole prayer is a prayer of merit. I'm a good man. I do good stuff. I think that I'm like above everybody else. In my own eyes, I'm like the benchmark of what a believer should be. And I'm not like this other guy over here. Fast twice a week, give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off could not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down justified. Imagine going before God. Do you want to take merit to his face or grace? I'm going to throw my merits before God. I'll show him I deserve to be in his kingdom. Or are we going to say, I plead grace. I plead grace.
I throw myself at your mercy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 12, we get a scripture here where, and this still happens today. It ain't over. It still happens. People compare themselves. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, Paul says, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. This Pharisee was comparing himself among others. He was putting himself above others. We can all like, hey, I'm not as bad as that person. Even when you witness to people, sometimes they'll say, oh, I haven't killed anybody. I'm not that bad. Well, what's your standard here? The fact you haven't murdered, God owes you heaven? And so the benchmark is missed. We've got to see that it's Christ, it's holiness, it's God's perfection. And that so we can see we do not need to compare ourselves to ourselves, because when we do, when we get this scale and we're comparing ourselves to one another, we can kind of think, I'm not too bad. And then we think, well, I kind of deserve this little perk and this thing here, whether it's in the church or in a business. We think we deserve something. We think, what's fair to me? What's right by my standards? Because this changes everything when we compare ourselves to each other. We think, oh, I've worked harder. I've worked longer. I'm the benchmark. And I'm not. If I was a benchmark, it'd be a pretty low standard. Christ is, and his holiness and his perfection. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah got a vision of the standard. He got a vision of God. And I want you to see his reaction. In Isaiah chapter 6, we'll start at verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him and cried
at that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, I'm not as bad as anybody else. I'm no worse than the next person. He said, woe is me. If that is what holiness, if that's, I'm in trouble. I'm in big trouble. I can't make it there. We're going to see when the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It ain't like God's here and we were just right here. We just fell short. We missed it by a step. We almost got into his kingdom. We just need God to lift us one more step and we're in. We're not even on the chart. When it says falling short, we're way out there. We're not even close. This short, that word short is an awful big span of how far we are short of getting into God's kingdom on our own. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. And so I think we ought to look at merit. Since we like the word merit, we think things are merit-driven, and I want what I deserve, let's look in Romans chapter 5 at what we deserve. We might as well, because we're talking about grace, and we might as well look at merit, because the people that came at the beginning and worked all day thought they merited more. And so we'll see merit. So in Romans chapter 5, in verse 18, therefore, as by one man's offense, or by the offense or the sin of one man, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Because of the fall of Adam and Eve, you and I inherited a sin nature to condemnation. This has fallen upon everybody. Say, I want what I deserve. What we deserve is hell. That's what I merited. If I've merited anything in life, I merit to spend eternity in hell. Now, it's not, well, you either go to heaven or you don't. It's either you go to heaven or you go to hell. That has to be a fact people need to listen to. We don't hear hell a whole lot. But hell is as eternal as heaven. And you're not dead in hell, because dead people don't weep, they don't wail, and they don't grind their teeth, as the Bible says that's what they're doing in hell, where the fire is never quenched and the worm doesn't die. People in hell live there forever. I can't even grasp what forever is. I know it's eternity, I believe it, but I cannot imagine. I've been burnt and I've suffered sometimes for days. I cannot imagine being tortured forever. But that's what you get if you reject Jesus Christ. This message of grace isn't, oh, I got to heaven, or, well, you either go to heaven or you don't. It's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal. We play off the hell side of this way too much. That's option B. And there's not heaven here, hell here, and this little holding tank in the center that your relatives can pay and pray to get you out of. It ain't there. That's a lie. You've got heaven, and if you don't go through Jesus Christ, you do go to hell. You merited that. I merited that. Hey, I earned that. And I don't want what I earned. I do not want what I deserve. And I thank God all the time. I do not want what I deserve. I want your grace. I'll take grace over merit every day of my life. And I will take the favor of God over talent every day of my life. My talents, they change. My abilities, they change. I'm almost 60. It's going to get worse from here. And I said, God, I need your favor over my talent, because my talent is so limited. Even at my best, my talent is so limited. I want your favor on my life. And what I merit, I don't want. I want your grace on my life. I want your grace. We need his grace. We need it bad. So we want the grace of God. Well, in verse 18, by the offense of one, sin came upon all to condemnation. You jump down to verse 20, it gets worse. Moreover, above that, you think you're not already condemned? The law came, it entered, that the offense may abound. I want you to see that you're worse than you think you are. You might compare yourself to this, compare yourself to that, but the law came that sin would abound, that this offense that we have against God is bigger than you want to admit. It's huge. But this whole series of grace has been, every sermon has had a but God in it.
That's how we are here today, but God. But God, he steps in. He steps in. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, praise God, grace did much more abound. The proof that that grace abounded is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's proof that there's grace. That's proof that grace is sufficient. That proof that the love of God is powerful and greater than all of our sin. That despite of ourselves, he would empty heaven of his Son and put him on the cross to die in our place. Imagine, just explain to me the grace of God. It's an overwhelming thing, but I'll tell you, it's a blessing. Just feast on it. Think about it. Meditate on the grace of God. Your attitude will change. When you wake up in the morning and you're meaner than a snake, that's because you're selfish and you're living for yourself. That's what it is. If you're a grouch, you're living for yourself and you're upset you didn't get what you wanted. Well, pout somewhere else. We need to say, God, I'm your servant. Give me a good day. This is a day that you have made. Help me to rejoice and be glad in it. Help me to rejoice and be glad in it. It's a gift from God. Every day is a gift. A day with my wife is a gift. There's a grandson of mine. I've got a bunch of grandkids and some more on the way. What a gift. I can go to work and I can think and I can reason and I can fix stuff. It's amazing, and that's all a gift. I didn't create my own mind and I don't maintain it. It's a gift from the grace of God. The ability to do what I do, it's a gift from God. And he uses our business as a ministry, as a witness. You know, God uses everything about us for his glory. Let him use us. Let him use you. Serve him through all that you do. The grace of God. As we go back to Matthew chapter 20, we're going to see some people coming up to get their money there in verses 8 and 9. It says, so when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they that came last, about the 11th hour, they received a penny. I think, man, this doesn't compute in my earthly brain that some guy could do so little and get the same amount. And a penny in this economy is an entire day's substance, what it takes to survive for a day. So this was a day's wage. So they got that. They say, I just don't get how that's fair. Well, we're talking about grace. The fact that you're going to heaven if you're a child of God, fair is already gone. You're already in grace. Remember merit, what we merited? We merited hell, but we're given through Jesus Christ heaven, grace. So we don't want the merit thing. And we look at what's fair. We need to be thankful. I want to look at a man in Luke chapter 23. A man that didn't come in the 11th hour. He came in like 11 hours and 59 minutes into the kingdom of God. Look at this thing here in Luke chapter 23. Well, that's Luke 22, okay. Verse 39 of Luke 23. Christ is on the cross being crucified. He's got a thief and a murderer hanging there with him and they're dying. One of the malefactors which were hanged with him, that's Jesus, said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. So here's Christ is in the middle. One of these criminals is mocking Christ and saying, you say you're God, why don't you save all of us? But the guy on the other side, rebuked the first criminal. He rebuked the other guy, saying, listen to this. This thief understood merit. And I really believe when he was looking at Christ, he was looking at grace. He comprehended this. Listen to this man. The other man rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly. He says, well, you and I, we deserve to die here. We merited this. And then he looks at Jesus, but this man has done nothing amiss. This guy, He's done nothing wrong. We merited the cross. We're getting what we deserve. He doesn't deserve this, but he's here. And he saw the grace of God, and he said unto him, Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, you haven't had a chance to serve me long enough. Too bad. See, that's merit. Merit would say, you didn't serve long enough to get that. You haven't done enough to earn this. You know what? What did Jesus say to him? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. This man didn't even get a chance to go to the vineyard. I guess maybe his little dab of a vineyard was the fact that he made a public testimony of faith in Jesus Christ that other people could hear. He publicly put his faith in Jesus there. That's his whole vineyard work. That's it. A couple of sentences, that's all he's got. And God says, you will be with me today. That's the grace of God. Religion will tell you, you got to serve this many years. You got to do this kind of stuff. You better do this, do that. Jesus said, just serve me. My grace is so amazing. You let me reward you. I'll reward you. This man got saved right at the very end of his life. But don't wait for deathbed repentance, because you don't know when you're going to die. You might die walking in that parking lot. How many people have just walked, get a massive heart attack, fall over, and it's over? Then, and you don't get another chance. You get while you're breathing to receive Jesus Christ. And then we get while we're living to serve the one that set us free. To serve the one that saved our soul. To serve him. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. You hear that? It is not of yourself. It's not of me. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. Because we would boast. I think, man, if heaven was like earth and we could earn our way to get there, it'd be miserable listening to all of us brag about how we got there. It'd be terrible. We get tired of listening to people brag anyhow. No one likes a bragger. Then we get to heaven, there's a whole bunch of braggers. How they got there? All of us are getting there the same way. Through the mercy and grace of God. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all just look to the Lamb of God. We'll just praise him because he is why we're here. It won't be our merit. It's not us. Back to Romans. Romans chapter 3. I say we talk about the wages of sin is death, and it is. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But see, this continues on again. There's merit. Merit and grace. Matthew 20 is about grace. God has gracefully given people his kingdom, whether you serve him this many years, whether you ask him while you're dying on your deathbed, you get heaven's glory. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Listen, God cleaned us up. We didn't clean ourselves up. He's just and the justifier of us. Where's boasting then? There is no boasting. It's been excluded. He says, by what? By the law of works? No, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Well, as we go back to Matthew 20, we look through that account. If you want to read verses 10 to 15 sometime, we see how they all got the same pay, the graciousness and hand of God. You know, I looked at this, and I know my wife, she got saved in the first hour. She got saved in elementary school. I don't remember what age she was, but she was young. I got saved what I think would be considered maybe the third hour. I got saved at 18. My dad, probably in the ninth hour. My grandparents got saved in the 11th hour. God came into my family and overhauled the whole thing, I'll tell you. You talk about grace. Man, we just saw it going on all over the place and still do. It's amazing. Grandparents in their 80s, 60s, some in their 60s, but some in their 80s coming to Christ. And my grandpa's in God's kingdom and grandma coming in late. They're there by the grace and mercy of God. And I look at this, and you know, if you get saved on your deathbed, that's a wonderful thing. God's grace is sufficient. But I have had 41 years now of serving the Lord, not like I should. Listen, when he called, I've been disobedient. This ain't a self-righteous sermon that, boy, this guy just served all 41 years without a miss. No. No, I wish I could say that. But I've had 41 years to serve him. 41 years with a lot of heartaches and then a lot of healing, with a lot of failures, but then a lot of victories, because God knows my flesh. He picks us back up. He forgives us. He gets us back on the path. And so I've been able to see this God working through my life for 41 years. I've got to see people come to know Christ, give their life to Jesus, family, non-family, co-workers. It's been great. It's been great to see the blessings of the hand of God. And if someone gets saved today and dies tomorrow and they get the same kingdom I get, why would I care? Praise God, they're going to heaven. Because the option B ain't very good. And so I can rejoice in the hand of God at watching him work in me. And I tell you, I've had 41 years, and I want you to take some time and ponder this through your life. Watch God watch over you. I don't know how long you've been saved, but you just take some time and you look back over your life and look at the finger and the hand of God on your life, what he has spared you from, what he's brought you through, the deliverances. Look at the hardships. And look at all this stuff, because Jesus said, hey, they want to kill me. They're not going to be nice to you either. And look at the hand of God. Spend some time watching God watch over you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If the praise team wants to come, if they got time for a song, I want you to look at the grace of God. If you're here today and you're unsaved, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have felt God working on your heart, you can know Jesus Christ today. Just like that thief on the cross, he put his faith in Jesus Christ. He said, you're in my kingdom now. You're part of my body, part of my kingdom. You can do that today. Maybe you're here today and you serve the Lord, but maybe you're telling him no in many areas. God wants to use you to serve him. He's calling you to his vineyard to some kind of service. Be a servant, a faithful servant of the Most High God. And maybe he's challenged you today to serve. Answer that call. Be obedient, because disobedience is sin. Serve the one that sets you free. We're going to sing a song and think about these things while we sing, and I'll come back up and close. Well, the Lord is calling us to work in his vineyard. I think vineyard is on purpose. It's not a coal mine. It's not a harvesting of precious metals, but to a time-sensitive crop, something perishable. The souls of men, every human has an appointment with death. That's the crop. And we don't know when their death is, and neither do they. But we, as believers, as the message of Jesus Christ, there is a perishable crop out there called the hearts of men. They're like sheep without a shepherd, and God wants us to serve him. It might be back in that kids' department, inside these walls, and certainly, for sure, outside these walls, everywhere we go. There's a perishable crop out there that God wants us to serve. That's his vineyard. Serve him. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can. All you have to do is repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus. We usually will lead in prayer, and no pastor that's ever asked you to follow them in prayer wants you to believe the prayer. They want you to believe Jesus. We never want you to just say, I've uttered words, I followed him in a prayer, I must be saved. Prayer doesn't save. Faith saves. We're saved by grace through faith. The prayer is just us helping you talk to God, pouring your heart out to him. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, please come up and see me. Pastor Dave is here. We got other men here. Come talk. Your lady would rather talk to a lady. We'll hook you up with that. That way you can say, listen, I need to know more about this Jesus. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Don't leave today without knowing Him. Eternity is forever. And there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. That's it. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace. We are in trouble without grace. I don't want anything that I merit, Father. I want to throw myself at the mercy of Your court and upon Your grace. Lord, I pray too that we would seek to live to have Your favor upon our lives rather than our own talents driving us forward. You've called, You can equip, and You will reward upon the bounty of Your tremendous grace. We thank You for this mystery. We don't understand it, but boy, are we grateful for it. So Lord, if there's any here today that have realized today they are outside of Jesus Christ, they're not saved, they're not going to heaven, I'm asking, Lord, that their heart would be convicted, they would come forward and ask for help, that we could show them and pray with them that they would receive Christ, Lord, and be a child of the King. Thank You again for this day. We ask Your blessing on the remainder of our day in Christ's name. Amen.